Good morning. As Pastor Michael said, today's scripture comes from Psalms 19, 1 through 10 and 14. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy. And like a strong man runs the course with joy, its rising is from the end of the heavens and its circuit to the end of them. And nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and dripping of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect one's own errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Ken. Well, what do you think is the greatest song ever written? Hold it in your head. The Rolling Stone magazine recently came out with a list of 500 songs that they feel are the best of all time. Their first list was compiled in 2004 in a special edition of the magazine, and since they've come out with three other editions, and their mind has really changed. To come up with their results, the editors sent a poll out to about 250 artists and musicians and producers and critics, and they were supposed to send in their own list of 50 songs and then that they thought was the best, and then the magazine took care of the rest. At the top of the list was R-E-S-P-E-C-T by Aretha Franklin. Mm-hmm. Followed by a song called Fight the Power by Public Enemy. But this is where it gets a little bit weird. Strawberry Fields Forever was all the way down at number 7. I Want to Hold Your Hand was number 15. And Imagine by John Lennon was all the way down at 19. Obviously, I'm not a music critic. I would have picked something else. But what didn't surprise me was the Beatles was the most represented band. They have 23 songs on the list, followed by Bob Dylan, who had 14, and Elvis, who had 11, and the Beach Boys have 7. Now, my critique is that most of these songs were from the U.S., and they were after the 1960s. And although I disagree with some of their rankings, the Rolling Stone got me thinking about what I think is my favorite song of all time. And I think it would probably be American Pie. You know, there's so much meaning. Everybody sings it, the melody, it's so, but maybe you disagree with me. Maybe it would be something with Mamas and the Papas. You know, I don't know. What's yours? Have you thought about it? What's your favorite song do you think, the greatest song ever written? Go ahead, call it out.
My Girl.
My Girl. Love it. Anyone else?
Turn the Page.
Anyone? Others? Oh, yes. Good Riddance. A lot of people sing that one. Yes, yes. God Bless America. Love it. Well, you know, we are a diverse bunch when it comes to music. Yes. Mm-hmm. No matter what your favorite song can be, I think all of us would agree that what makes a song amazing... Emmy, your hand is up. What's your favorite song? What is it? I can't hear it. Okay. Awesome. Thank you for sharing. Well, you know, a lot of us, no matter what it is, we would think that a song, something that makes a song to us the greatest, is that it has meaning. And so today we're talking about meaning as it relates to our spiritual lives. Probably what makes a song your favorite is that it has a sense of meaning that you get when it's sung or that you hear it. Well, today is the season of Lent, and it's a period of 40 days before Easter, in which Christians traditionally turn our focus to deepening our relationship with God. Often, Christians give up something during Lent, and we fill that void with God. But this Lent, our theme is wandering in the wonders of God, and we're hoping to take on looking for the awe of God in our world. Previously, we talked about beauty, and that's discovering the awe of God through what we see. Last week, we talked about wonder and how we experience the awe of God through the using of our minds and the limits of our minds. And then today, though, we turn to meaning and how we discover the awesome nature of God through speech. And as we'll see, the speech that comes from creation, the speech that comes through word, and the things that we say and do that build up other people, they begin to see meaning for their own lives as well. First off, I think it's helpful to have a definition as a baseline. Webster's dictionary defines meaning as the intended thing that you wish to convey, usually by using words. Meaning is a conveyance. It's often a use of words. It's what something is intended to convey. And well, in my opinion, meaning is that value that you receive from someone or something. And I believe that meaning is what connects us deeply with God and with one another. Music is an excellent example of the power of meaning, because the real deep inspiration and connection that our favorite song or genre or band can give us is a testimony to the power of meaning in our lives, at work, in our play, in our relationships, and in our faith. Our series, Wandering in the Wonders of God, has taken us to the book of Psalms. Now, the Psalms were written hundreds of years before Jesus, and they were used in the temple worship as hymns and songs. The hymns were the Psalms was like the ancient hymn book of our faith. Now, if you ask a preacher what is the most difficult book to preach from, you probably would get a lot of them saying Psalms, at least from this preacher, because the Psalms are songs, are their poems. They have deep meanings of their own. It's like me pulling out What a Friend We Have in Jesus and preaching on it. What's more is there to say? The Psalms speak about humans' deepest longings about God, our joys, our fears, our questions, our doubts. And I believe that the Psalms were how ancient Jewish folks, the ancient followers of our faith, searched for meaning in their relationship with God. The Psalms, through and through, all of them, seem to be about finding meaning between this life and the heavens, between us and between and God. Today we read from Psalm 19, which theologian C.S. Lewis called the greatest poem of the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. I can see why he thought so about Psalm 19. This psalm is joyful, and it talks about, uses beautiful imagery and poetry and prayer to speak powerfully to humanity's relationship with God, and the meaning that creation and scripture has to our faith. One could make the argument that the common thread that holds this psalm together is speech. The speech of God through creation, the speech of God through the power of his word, and the power of prayer, in which we gain meaning and purpose for our lives. This psalm begins by proclaiming the power of the heavens and how they declare the glory of God, and the firmament declares his handiwork. a firmament isn't a word that we use very often these days, but it refers to the sky. The author must have been moved as he looked day by day in a world without screens and distractions or books, any all the media that we have today. He looked up and saw the nature and the media of the sky. And he saw how the sun worked and the moon and the moon worked and all of that. And he wrote that all of this must declare the power and the majesty of God. The psalm writer points out that although there are no words spoken by the sun, every day and every night declares the glory of God. Though no words are spoken from creation, the psalmist says that their voice goes to the end of the earth and their words to the end of the world. To the psalm writer, the beauty of creation testifies to the presence and the power of God as creator. And although there are no words being spoken by the moon and the sun, the message is clear. The heavens tell of the glory of God, and the skies declare his handiwork, and every day and every night there is a message of the knowledge of God. Several of the posters behind me resonate with this feeling, that when we see the natural wonders in the sky, or when we serve through not through speech, but through this our actions. Another one that conveys also a meaning is tattoo and symbols and words. We see so many ways of speech, whether it's through creation or through the words of our mouth or through the words of prayer. All these things elicit the meaningful encounters that we have in our lives that point us to God and connect us with each other. The psalmist looks at the wonders of creation and doesn't see beauty as an end in itself. He sees an opportunity to praise God and worship his majesty. In a world that is lit up by LED screens and all sorts of media, I believe the author of the psalm is telling us today, look up and look out. See the wonders of creation as but one way that we can experience the majesty of God. Creation speaks to the presence of God in our lives, and one cannot help but feel something deeper when we look into the sky and see how things work and God has ordained it and created it for us. Upon seeing it, we see a bit of the wonder of God. Well, like a favorite song strikes a chord deep within us, far beyond the printed word. This psalm, Psalm 19, points to the works and the glory of God that surpasses words. Though meaning is usually conveyed through words, the author of Psalm 19 reminds us that creation speaks to the glory of God. And we can find it but one way in which we ourselves can worship him. Now, the second part of the psalm talks about this, continues this theme of speech by talking about how the law, the scriptures, provide meaning for the author's life and for ours. In verse 7, he writes that the law of the Lord is perfect. God is perfect and without error, and so that means God's word is perfect and without mistake. However, there are some scriptures that are problematic, and some have been used to harm or oppress others. This does not mean that we should blindly follow them without careful prayer and discernment and study. There's a difference between the Word of God and the translations and interpretations that have been made throughout all the ages. There are times in which translations may be wrong. Sometimes the words of Hebrew and Greek don't necessarily translate to our English, and that leads to some misunderstandings. There are times in which all of us, could misunderstand how or why something was said in Scripture, and there are times where I wonder if there are a few things that just don't apply to us today. Methodists have always believed that Scripture is the basis of our understanding about God, but it must be understood with reason and tradition and experience. This helps us to understand these hard scriptures, the ones that have been misused or have hurt some of us. This is the way that we can find God's meaning for our lives. God's word is perfect, but sometimes the words we use to understand and talk about God are not. Scripture wasn't meant to be a checklist, but it's meant to be a guide in which it's a major way in which we understand and talk about God and his presence in our lives. The psalmist believes that we can find the meaning of God through the scriptures. And this psalm is beautiful in that it tells the story of salvation so poetically. It tells the story of creation and how God created the world as our home. And it speaks power to his majesty for all generations. This passage tells the power of scripture and how God's spoken word and the proclamation of the word Sunday after Sunday guides us in his understanding of his work in our lives and in our world. And it finishes with a prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and redeemer. Little wonder that C.S. Lewis thought this was one of the greatest psalms and one of the greatest songs ever written. Like a favorite song or a melody, Psalm 19 reminds us that God speaks to us. God is still speaking. I think the Christian church, Disciples of Christ, had a comma that says, God is still speaking. And I think above all, this passage, this scripture, Psalm 19, reminds us of it. In a plethora of ways, God is speaking to us. Through creation, through our experiences around us, through those that we love and hold dear to us, through the edification of scripture and the proclamation of word, and through service as well, through the silent but very loud words of our hands and our bodies. Like a favorite song or melody, Psalm 19 reminds us that God is speaking. Like a favorite song moves us with deep meanings and connections. Psalm 19 challenges us to consider how God speaks to us, adding meaning to our everyday lives. God speaks to us through creation, through the encounters of our lives. God speaks to us through his word, the scriptures. God speaks to us through prayer. Now, prayer is more than just talking to God or at God. It's communication. It's a give and take. It's speaking, and it's also listening. Too many times, I think Christians think that if our prayers are answered the way that we ask them to be, that means that God has heard your concern and vice versa. But in reality, God hears all of our prayers. God knows what we're about to utter off of our tongue. God knows what we need more than we often know. And it's just that. Sometimes, for reasons that we don't know on this side of heaven, God doesn't answer our prayers the way that we had hoped or the way that we had intended. But I often say, my little slogan is, what prayer doesn't change without, it changes within. What external circumstances don't change in my prayer, I will tell you time after time, if something that has not changed, though I prayed for it, I had found that my heart was changed and my heart was healed in a much better way than I could ever have imagined before. We're reminded through prayer that the world doesn't revolve around us. Prayer is a good exercise for us to be thinking about God, thinking about the world around us and all the people that we love and hold dear. And so especially in these divided times, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to God, our rock and redeemer. Psalm 19 tells us that we find meaning in our lives by observing God at work in the world. Through the power of scripture and prayer, we find meaning for our lives and in our faith. I think Psalm 19 could be the greatest song ever written because it tells the greatest story about the love of a creator God who's revealed in scripture and made flesh in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave meaning to the scriptures. He breathed life into them. He made them not just words, but he made them flesh. The scriptures mean that God is love. That God desires a relationship with each and every one of us. That God is being revealed in the normal events and the relationships of our lives. Jesus made the scriptures and brought them to life and gave them meaning. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And he assured us that nothing in this life, not death or principality or anything else, could separate us from God's great love. Jesus assures us that in death there's new life, that even in the best or the worst or the scariest or craziest events of our lives, that we can mean that God is in control of our lives, that God is with us, that God is looking after us, that God cares for us and the world. God speaks to us through one another, providing meaning in this way as well. The meaning that we find in God and through our scriptures is something that we can and should share with others. Now, I tell this story with permission from Amanda and Sophia about something that Sophia experienced this week that I thought related to sharing meaning. Sophia started a school newspaper, and she's been working really hard writing articles and interviewing and designing, and I can imagine that's a lot of hard work. I can barely get a sermon done every week. Well, recently she reached out to the journalism class over at Smithville High School to see if maybe they could offer her some pointers. And sure enough, one of the high school students came over and went the extra mile. Met with Sophia, stayed for her club, helped her out with the next edition of the newspaper. Is this right? And, you know, just doesn't this make you feel good about the next generation? I mean, this is, you know, maybe they can fix some of the problems and the division in our world. This high school student has found meaning in her journalism work and purpose, and not only that, she took the time to share her passion of writing with Sophia, and that will probably keep on going, and probably Sophia's going to remember this for a very long time. You know, this is exactly what I'm talking about and exactly what the scripture is about. We find meaning from God. It translates in our everyday lives, in our gifts, our tasks, our abilities, our loves, our relationships, and the calling, of course, is to share that with everyone else so that they can experience meaning for their own life. So thanks to Sophia for letting me share that story today. The meaning we receive in life is meant to be shared, and I think what happened here was a perfect example of it. Could Psalm 19 be the greatest song ever written? I don't know. It sounds like we may be debating on that. But it's a song about this entire story of salvation. A God who loves us immeasurably, who's revealed in our daily lives through scripture and through creation and through prayer and through service. God is still speaking. God is speaking to each and every one. So let's stop and look and listen throughout our week and listen for God, and so that we can find meaning for our circumstances and that we can share it with the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have given us your word and you have given us all the beauty that surrounds us. Lord, you've helped us to find meaning through all of it. And especially, you brought the scriptures to life through your son, Jesus. Lord, fill our hearts as we go out into this world. As we look for meaning, may we find it, and may we share it with others who are looking as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.